What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club App, the number one live streaming app for DJs and partygoers. Today, we have my brother, DJ TRS. Brother, can you please introduce yourself to the people, who you are and where you're from?
Yeah, what's up, y'all? My name is DJ TRS, New York City, Harlem world.
Awesome, man. We're super excited to have you here on the show. This is the My DJ Story podcast, so we want to hear your story as a DJ in the industry. So walk us through your journey. You know, take us to the beginning. What sparked your interest to become a DJ? Kind of walk us through that journey from there on.
Okay. So I've been DJing over 25 years. From the beginning, well, what started it was, let's see, when I was about 14, I was in this will give you some context. I was in a high school that was predominantly white kids. I had a lot of Black and Latino friends. I was into hip hop, and they didn't like that. So, when I was in ninth grade, I got beat up by football players. I got called all kinds of names, and it was fucked up. So, that being said, I failed ninth grade because of that, and then I was went to another high school. Luckily, my mom, who was awesome, helped me with that. She got me to. Got me into a new high school, which was very diverse. So I was able to excel and actually really do well academically and as well as socially. So that experience really shaped me in terms of a person, in terms of how I view the world, and in terms of my music. And in terms of my DJing, so at the same time, I was this white kid in the suburbs of Syracuse, New York. That's where I grew up. I had just discovered hip hop, and it was like a whole new world. It was like, wow, I can't believe this is like real, and that, you know, I'm able to access this, it was such a blessing to be able to do that. And I was so elated because I had just my parents had just gotten divorced, and so I was also, you know, in a way I was also looking for an escape, and that was part of my escape, but also part of my healing from a father who was alcoholic, and a lot of things that happened between him and my mom. And he did beat my mom, which I actually just found out recently. so that was that's sort of the background as far as like why I got into DJing, and the way that it went down was that I just started going into Black neighborhoods, and we got to meet people, basically, and actually the record stores. There were two main record stores in Syracuse. One was called Sound Shack, and the other one was called Cole's Music World. And I spent a lot of time in those two places. I'm smiling because it gave me so much joy to go in there and just to talk about music and to just be in an environment where, you know, I was accepted no matter what, like, like even though I'm this white guy Black neighborhood, I was still accepted, and that's a beautiful thing. And that's like a testament to Black people, like really is. Like, you know, I don't know of any Black person who wants to not involve everybody. and so it's like the opposite of white supremacy, basically. You know, these record stores were crucial in me like learning about the breaks, the original breaks that were started by Kool Herc and Grandmaster Flash at Bronx River in the South Bronx. And so what I did was I went back because when I was coming up, it was like 1985, and I was I was floored by Boogie Down Productions' first single. It was just I was amazing. So like that first single that they did in particular was crucial for me to start thinking about how do I learn about all the breaks and all the past funk and soul that went into these records. And so I just started researching and going to these record stores and just talking to people, and they would school me a bit on the past breaks and trying to figure that out. And of course I give credit to Breakbeat Lou, Ultimate Breaks and Beats, who I know and is a good person and really nice. And I give credit to him for like putting those out there, because then I wouldn't have known a lot about what the records that were being used. So the research for me was crucial in terms of like the culture, and to really understand the five elements of hip hop. And wow. So, yeah.
Wow, that's an amazing intro, brother. And I'm really sorry to hear that you went through so much in so many different areas of your life. But it shows just how strong you are to be able to make it out of those tough times, but also be able to learn from them and kind of let it shape your life in regards to how you go about your DJ career, then also just about your journey within the industry. So I appreciate you being so open and transparent and sharing these things, because it's not easy to tell your story on a platform and to get your message out there, but you were able to do it so other people can learn the real life things that happen to people and how these things can have influence on people's lives. So thank you for being so open and transparent and candid about everything that has happened. You know, talk to me a little bit about kind of where your DJ journey, you know, from there went. You know, you just talked about how you were able to, you know, get into the five elements of hip hop, and, you know, where did your journey lead you from that point on, leading to where you are today?
Yeah, sure. So from that point on, I just kept practicing. I started doing parties at community centers in Syracuse. And I was also starting to do clubs. So at an early age, I was in most of the major clubs in Syracuse, New York, and I really honed my craft that way, and I also honed my craft in terms of like dealing with live audiences and getting a sense of the crowd and watching how they moved, and then, you know, just like making, you know, if I put out a record that was not working, then, you know, I would know how to like transition really quickly to something else. So that really helped a lot. And then from there, I started doing some production in the early 90s, mainly hip hop with a whole bunch of different MCs in Syracuse. while I was in high school, and made a whole bunch of tracks, went to the studio. I had a record contract, which fell through, but you know, that's the music business. So that being said, I started really working on the production. I got a ESP keyboard, which was like a sampling keyboard from Insonic, and that was a game changer for me in terms of production. And I also was using an Elias drum machine, which is old. It's, you know, it's old school, but and before that, I was using like a Dr. Rhythm. So I was doing production, and then from there, I just started to branch out and work with different MCs and singers. And so I mainly was working on production, and then I went to college in Oswego State, which is north of Syracuse, New York. And there I was, I just was DJing every weekend. And that's where I really honed my craft, and met a lot of great people, kept doing production, and put out a lot of mixtapes. So that was my whole, the whole time I was in college, about 4 years, was I was able to sustain myself financially by DJing. And that was truly a blessing for me. And
yeah, no, that's amazing, man. And it kind of set you the framework to where you are today, because we know like you're a full-time DJ now. It's probably your primary source of income and what you're doing to, you know, fulfill and stay sustained with your livelihood. You know, talk to me a little bit about some of the things you're currently doing now, and I would love to hear, you know, where you spend your time DJing in these days.
So I moved to New York City about 1999. So I've been here since then. And I was doing I was one of the first DJs to do Ted Smooth old school jam in Harlem, East Harlem. And I had done that for a few years just to get myself back into the groove. Because I was in graduate school, and I wasn't really, during that time, I wasn't really doing a whole lot in terms of DJing. So that really helped propel me to just continue to do it. And also, the great thing about that, about Ted Smooth's old school jam, was that it forced me to come up with routines quickly and to really make a compact set. And because I knew like, everybody was there, like from Fab Five Freddy to, you know, all kinds of to Bobito. So I was like, okay, I gotta come correct. I can't fuck around with this. Excuse my language. Sorry, I don't mean to swear. I apologize. But that was like really propelled me to keep doing it, and I just kept doing it. And so fast forward to now, last year during the pandemic, I started a record label, and I put out a bunch of about 4 songs so far, all sort of like tech house, techno. Each one has a different theme. One is called Liberation, and it's about Black liberation. It's a song that I did with an activist, a Black woman. Her name is Tanisha Grant. She's amazing. I work with her. We're raising money to give laptops to children in Harlem. we've raised about 80,000 so far, and we've given away hundreds of laptops. That's been great, just to be able to be in community with her, and to be able to work with her on a song was awesome. And so what I'm trying to do is meld my activism with my music, what I've been wanting to do for years and years, and I just decided during the pandemic, like, say, hey man, you know, I just gotta like go for it.
Wow. that's truly amazing. I love what you're doing by, you know, infusing, you know, your passion for helping and supporting marginalized people to your passion in music. And that's super amazing. I love what you're doing. You're helping a lot of people throughout this journey. So thank you for investing your time and energy into doing this, because it's not easy with what you're doing. And I really honor you and appreciate all you're doing for underrepresented people and marginalized people. You know, at this time, what we're going to do is we're going to jump into a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to jump into some of the learning lessons that you learned throughout your journey, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
And we're back with the My DJ Story podcast. I'm here with my brother, DJ TRS from New York City. And he's telling an amazing story about his journey in the DJ industry. So, brother, you have been through a lot throughout your journey. And I would love to learn, you know, what are some of the learning lessons that you learned, particularly through a lot of the hardship that you've been through, that has helped you stay motivated throughout this entire journey to keep you in the game for as long as you've been into it. A lot of people start DJing, but they end up quitting or giving up too early. What are some of the things that has you able to do or learn from your experiences that kept you going?
I would say that the number one thing probably is people. For me, it was early on, I was able to meet some amazing people who were a positive force in my life, and in encouraging me to just keep going. And I think that is like one of the most important things that you can try to seek out, even more so than, you know, practicing every day. Yes, that's essential. But just seeking out people who are going to be positive and support you and teach you stuff, and you teach each other things. So I just want to give a shout out to some DJs that helped me, that people, no one really knows about, but they're from Syracuse. DJ Wiz, DJ Lonnie, DJ Los. They were all influential in just being real with me and just taking me where I was at. And that's how I learned to really navigate not only DJing, but relationships as well. So it was like an emotional growth as well as a musical growth. It was, and there's no price for that. It's just something that is incredible.
Yeah, man. Relationships are tremendously important in all industries, and specifically with the DJ industry, because it's really a relationship game. And understanding just how you're able to move forward with your career based on relationships is super important. You know, you never know where you're going to get your next gig or your next opportunity from, or that learning lesson or something that's going to help you be better as a DJ. But relationships can be the solution to many of problems that exist throughout your journey. And I'm glad that you're able to see that relationships are super important and able to make some really great and phenomenal relationships to help you along the way. You know, I would love to hear, you know, were there any things that you saw that was really something that you were able to add on to your DJing journey that would able to help you, you know, land more gigs or to be able to make more money within this journey? You know, some things that can help DJs that are struggling right now do better and increase their brand and their awareness and opportunities within the industry?
Let's see. There's many things. Let me just hone in on one. I think one of the most important things is to make sure that you be creative. Be creative in your sets. Come up with things that no one is doing, and practice that daily. I just think of I think of Rock Raider, who DJed for a whole year, him and Rob Swift. Rob Swift would come to his house every week, and they would practice for the DMC battle. And he was practicing things that people weren't doing, but he was doing consistently every single day, or at least once a week or more. So that story just like resonates with me, because that's sort of what I learned in terms of just being able to come up with different things and just let it, you know, like just listen to some of your records, you know. And then you'll start thinking, oh, this will go with this, and I'll do something with this, and you never know, like people will be amazed that you did it. Just like a routine I came up with, like I used Sanford and Son theme with a beat from Wild Style, and it was a big hit. So like you never know what you're going to come up with if you just let the creativity flow. And that's for me, yeah, that's one that will help you in terms of everything, in terms of being more creative, in terms of getting props, in terms of making more money, all of it.
Yeah, it's really great advice, man. And I think that's what really makes you stand out as a brand. And each DJ has their own brand, and when you're able to think creatively, people remember you for that, and then they want to, you know, be a part of that brand and book you more and be involved with the things that you're doing. Talk to me a little bit about your brand. Your name is DJ TRS. So where did you get that name, and what does that branding mean to you?
TRS stands for Turntables Rotating Smoothly. I just came up with it when I was like 15, and it just stuck. So that's where it didn't really come from anything, but it was actually first was the real Scratch, because there was another DJ named Scratch, and you know, when you're a kid, you're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be better than him. So you know, well, that's really where it came from. But then I changed it to Turntables Rotating Smoothly. So yeah, that's where I got it from. So the what was the other part of the question? I'm sorry.
Yeah, and like, what does that branding mean to you? Like, what kind of experience do people get when they book DJ TRS?
Oh yes, okay. So my brand, I would just say that I am, when you book me, I am house, tech house, hip hop, funk, and I try to blend that all together. In terms of making a dance floor. And so when you book me, you're getting me as a DJ with 25 years of experience, a huge 10,000 records. And I know my music, I know my records. And I just... I'm starting to really branch out in terms of like production and creating these songs. Really helped me to hone in on what type of music that I want to play, and also that I think people will enjoy. So it's sort of a meld of different genres, it really is. Something that's going to be brand new, and I'm having a new show coming up soon on Twitch that is going to showcase this type of music that I'm trying to put out there.
Awesome, man. No, great. I love it, brother. And talk to us about some of the things that you're focused on now, you know, like your new show, and tell us how we can support you as a community. You know, I would love to let our audience know about the things that you're currently doing.
Okay, yes. Yes, to support me, I have a Bandcamp page, djtrs.bandcamp.com, where all my singles are available. And I'm also on streaming on everywhere, Spotify, Amazon, you name it. And so that's a way you can support me. And then my show is going to be, I'm hoping to bring that out on the road at some point. So that's what I'm focused on right now. And yeah, if you can, twitch.tv/DJTRS2, like the number two. And so that's how you can support me. And of course, I'm going to have a website soon, but, you know, I'm working on that. And I'm also going to be, I'm going to have two shows, but the first show is going to be mainly music. But the second one is going to be part music, part just different speakers coming in, activists. And yeah, and I have a network of DJs here in New York City that I'm gonna hopefully have some of those people on as well.
Awesome, man, super exciting. Thank you for sharing everything you shared so far. At this time, we're gonna jump into our lightning round. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Okay, Allen Heath mixer. I have 4 1200s, Serato, SL2, and let's see, some hardware, limiter, graphic equalizer, mixer, like a old school mixer, you know, with the. That's in a recording studio. And that's about it.
Who's your favorite DJ?
Oh, geez. My favorite DJ of all time. Grandmaster Flash.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at, and what made it special?
Oh, wow. I could say that the favorite party or event that I DJed at was actually when I was in college at a bar, packed, and it was my birthday, and my girlfriend at the time brought me a cake right on stage, and for me that brought me a lot of joy. I mean, yes, I got paid for it too, but it was that was the icing on the cake, no pun intended.
Name some of the best places to party in your city.
Oh, wow. Well, this is New York, so you could party on the street corner, like my block, but let's see. There's so many. I would say there's a place called Elsewhere in Brooklyn that's really great. There's a lot of places in Brooklyn, actually. But I would say that one is one of the best. House of Yes, which is also in Brooklyn, is an amazing place. And they're very forward-thinking, open-minded, LGBTQ. It's they do phenomenal stuff, and it's a huge space, and it's really nice. So I would say those for now. Yeah.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
What's missing? I think that what's missing is a sense of ownership. I think that Twitch is great, but it's owned by Amazon and Jeff Bezos, and he's the richest man in the world. And DJs need to be part of that. They need to own their own network, in my opinion. And I think that's what's missing. That would be a game changer if we can do that.
And shout out to DJs that you know personally, whose stories also need to be shared on this podcast.
Okay. I know personally, Rock and Rob, he is from the old school. He was down in Bronx River, and definitely you need to hear his story. It's amazing. Grand Wizard Theodore, who I know, of course, the mentor of the Scratch. So if you haven't had him yet, you should definitely get hold of him. Let me think if there's anyone else. There's a lot, but those two, I would say, are the main two that I would recommend now.
Awesome. Yeah, we look forward to hearing their stories one day. And any DJ who wants to be on the show can sign up at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you start doing events?
Yes, if you go to, if you want to hear all my streaming, go to songlip.com/djtrs. That'll give you all the links to all the various platforms that I'm on. And also djtrs.bandcamp.com, website coming soon. So, yeah, and I'll be performing this Sunday in Jackson Heights. I don't have the exact, it's like an open streets thing, so it's outside. Yeah, hopefully there'll be more stuff coming. And I hope to continue this journey. And I wish you the best of luck with this club app, and you have my support.
Thank you, brother. Hey, this has been an amazing interview. Everyone, please check out my brother, DJ TRS from New York City. Super excited to have you on the show, brother. And thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing you in the club.
All right. Thanks. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the My DJ Story podcast. If you haven't already, please join our community by downloading the Club app for free in the Google Play and App Store today. While you're there, do us a huge favor by giving us a 5-star rating and shoot us a message on Instagram telling us you did. I'd love to send you a free My DJ Story podcast t-shirt as a token of our appreciation. Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to seeing you in the club.